goes.
One, two, three.
My name is Cupid Valentino, the modern day Cupid, and I just want to say one thing. Happy Valentine's Day. I don't think y'all heard me. I just want to say Happy Valentine's Day. Can y'all dig that? Now, when arrows don't penetrate, see. Now look at here, he shoots straight for your heart. Now, and he won't miss you. But that's alright, y'all won't believe in me anyway, but
you won't believe in me, but you fancy every kind of song.
When Cupid knocks at your door,
you can't ignore me.
There's no need to run. So happy Valentine's Day. Hey,
every day the 14th.
Now I may have it all wrong. See, if you know what love means, well, well, somebody tell me. 'Cause they just don't believe in me.
You won't believe in me, but you
fancy every kind of. Hey, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. And happy It's Hot in Here fundraiser show / love fest. Very excited. In addition to Andrea Krauss joining us in the studio, we have Rachel Chatterton, who has co-hosted this show for many years in the past. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Gina.
It's Gina. Rachel may call me Gina because we used to go by pseudonyms on this show.
I never had one, but
yeah,
habits are hard to break.
It's true. We were worried about professional identities, and now we're doing a lot of boundary crossing, and I'm happy to be called by my own name.
Okay.
So anyway, and Gina's perfectly fine. We have an exciting show today. This is WCVN's fundraiser, which happens only once a year for 10 days. And we ask you to dip into your pockets and call our fantastic volunteers of the station who are there to take your calls. The number to dial is 734-763-3500. And we're offering a very special thing for you today. If you call in and donate just $10, we will give a shout out to your loved ones for Valentine's Day. How romantic is that?
Nothing more romantic.
Exactly. That's basically the max romance you can get in a holiday. And for $30, you can have your very own It's Hot in Here mason jar, which you can check out by going to our website at wcbn.org/donate. Have you got your mason jar yet, Rachel?
I haven't, but I did bring my credit card with me. So
that's very
maybe
exciting.
I'll talk to those volunteers in person.
Wow. I think that's going to blow a lot of minds, and it's going to be lovely. I believe we have Paul Stromberg on the phone. So what we're doing today is checking in with past friends and family of the show. We are also going to be interviewing Habib Kwete, who is a musician from Mali, who will be appearing at the ARC this coming Tuesday. So we'll be talking a bit about his new album, and that'll be coming up at 12:30. But let's say hi to Paul.
Hi.
Hi, Paul. So Paul used to engineer our show last semester, and we are excited to hear his voice. How is it going in your world, Paul?
Things are going great, yeah. I have a 4-day weekend, so I'm excited about not, you know, going to work. I had to leave you regrettably to do, well, I mean, it was bittersweet, but yeah, I'm teaching now in Chelsea, so.
That's great. That's great. And in our emails this week, you had expressed some concern about the unending snowstorms.
Yeah, yeah. We have had 7 snow days. And so now I think we're going to have to make up one. They haven't really said anything in Lansing about it yet. So we're just kind of waiting to hear. But
wow.
It hasn't been fun. Yeah, my car hasn't started. It's been really hard to get to work.
It is the case that the weather can impede what we want to do. I should say, it just got so much hotter in here. Rebecca Hardin, professor at the School of Natural Resources, has joined us in the studio.
And let me tell you, if the weather had been better, I would have been here earlier. I'm feeling your pain. I really am.
And she is appropriately dressed in red and black today for this Valentine's holiday and for the love.
Undressing a little right now, though, because as usual, say it with me, girls.
It's hot in here.
Oh, that felt really nice. Really, really nice. Wow, 7 snow days is quite a lot. That doesn't happen all the time.
But I was hearing a debate this morning about whether they're going to make those snow days up by tagging minutes or hours onto the school day or by taking extra days. Where would you come down on the wisdom of those two approaches, Paul?
Yeah, I think it makes way more sense to add minutes because the day doesn't even count, I guess, if a certain number of students don't show up.
Right, but apparently Governor Snyder signed a little bit of legislation last year that let us do that last year. It's only valid for last year, so it has to get re-debated and reenacted this year if we're going to make these snow days up in a way that everybody thinks is the best idea, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that's what's happening, and everybody's really hoping that they don't have to come in during the summer, the teachers especially.
Oh, come on now. The students are also in that boat, I think. And, you know, it does. It reminds me of the way in Africa people have these debates about how students need to be out of school to help their parents farm and basically learn in other ways, right?
So. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's not really something that we deal with as much in our culture anymore. But that's certainly the origin of, like, summer vacation.
Kind of need to bear that in mind, I think, sometimes. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Paul, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy snow days to give us a call. We really appreciate it.
And walking down memory lane with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
We miss you.
Yes. All the best to you and your students.
Stay warm. Stay smart.
That's right.
Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. Well, in honor of our fundraiser, we ought to listen to a tune. This is the Flying Lizards covering the Beatles tune, Money.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. Such a thrill, but your love won't pay my bills. I want money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Money don't get everything, it's true. What it don't get, I can't use. I want money. Money. Give me your money. Just
All right. Money, that's what we want. Give us a call at 734-763-3500 and show us your money.
Please.
Please. There are a lot of wonderful premium items that you can get from the station, including your very own It's Hot in Here mason jar. So this show has been going on since 2008, and Rebecca Hardin, professor at the School of Natural Resources, has been one of our biggest champions throughout this whole time.
Yeah, it's not hard to be a champion, but I did not realize until I looked back that I was in on the ground floor with that interview that we did. It was way back when, actually. I think that you and co-founder Sarah Swick contacted me and said, hey, we're hanging out with Hugh Stimson in this grungy, cool, interesting radio studio and want to come in and talk about your research. We're trying to get people to come on air, right? So that was...
And you were so willing, which we really, really appreciated.
You know me, get me started talking.
And it's super, super lovely. We'd like to take a little trip down memory lane. Take us back to 2008.
Are you going to play something from that interview?
We are.
Oh, my goodness.
This is where Rebecca is giving a really complex description, complex yet evocative, what Sarah Swick... who was going by Gwen Hetfield at the time,
yes.
to reference pseudonyms.
Aliases. And
yes.
The reason they had aliases, I might remind us, is partly because Jennifer Johnson, involved in field research, said to me, is it okay if I publish like newspaper articles about resource extraction in my field site? And I was like, sure, not under your name.
Exactly. Luckily, I had Gina Gedham at the ready, and I think Gwen Hetfield came from
the
NPR
Gina
name
Gedham.
Generator.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was only sorry not to have an alias myself that day.
we can pull up the NPR name generator and
let's try
get
that.
You one. Yeah. Get you one. So let's listen to this. Sarah, yeah, we'll just take a listen.
Such a
ready,
radio professional, Sarah.
Well, yeah. I trained as a Peace Corps volunteer in Democratic Republic of Congo and in Bujumbura and Burundi and Rwanda. I know that region well. I love it well. I love the culture and the music especially. Mm-hmm. So it's one that I do know. But my real expertise is in Central African Republic, which is a little further north, which, by the way, is a country in which a lot of the energy that is generated by hydroelectric power. And I remember well the long afternoons and evenings with the lights off because there just wasn't enough water pressure to power that. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's a really interesting... form of energy for the region and the nation. The question of corruption, civil conflict and stuff, I think, has to be taken on several levels. One thing that's certainly true in the Democratic Republic of Congo, as in Central African Republic and other countries in this broader equatorial African region, is that the idea of the terroir in French, or the territory from which people come into urban elites, into urban communities, is perpetually important. There's this lovely book called The Politics of the Belly, or La Politique du Ventre, by political scientist Jean-François Bayard. It was written in the you know, 80s and 90s, and it's dated, but still very valid. And it talks about how... people in urban elites serving their nation state remain in many ways interpolated or shaped and in kind of interesting patron-client relationships to the regions from which they've come. And so you see in a country like DRC, there's this wonderful book in the making now by a colleague of mine at the SSRC, Tatiana, who's writing about Bemba. He's an opposition political leader in the DRC who's spoken out and been a rival to Kabila, father and son, and who has links historically to the home region where Mobutu came from. These kinds of regional connections are very starkly visible in the landscape, even if we don't talk about civil conflict, we just talk about infrastructure. Who was the president during the 70s and 80s will tell you where there are the best landing strips, the best roads, the best best lit streets, the best electricity grid. And that's something which is just a kind of political reality. It's a political reality anywhere, I would argue, but it's especially stark in a place like the Congo Basin, where overall infrastructural trends can be toward a degradation rather than a maintenance of national infrastructure if they're left alone for a lot of reasons. Tropical forests are hard places to maintain infrastructure at all, but these are also countries who've been so pillaged. The economies of pillage, the extraction of natural resources to make markets and commodities elsewhere than in Africa has left them with really weak infrastructure. So those regional differences that come out of political processes are very real. They're historically documentable. They're contested within these countries. And they have a lot to do with the stakes involved and who gets access to ministerial and presidential power and why it is that you get these regionalized movements supporting this or that leader to the point of militias, right, that become very active. We want the dams. We want the roads. We want the access, right? There isn't a lot of confidence in this point that there can be distributive justice on those fronts. And that can degrade really rapidly, both within and across national boundaries in this region of Africa. It's very worrisome.
I think we've also been seeing it playing out a little bit, or quite a bit, in Kenya in the past few months after the election. The Luos, who are based...
All right.
Wow, trip down memory lane for the Hot in Here Love Fest, 88.3 FM, WCBN, Ann Arbor.
Taking us back. And at the time, Gwen Hetfield called that the best explanation she's ever heard about the intersection of conflict, environment, and natural resource issues in Africa. And she wasn't just being, you know, overly complimentary.
She wasn't, but I got to tell you, for sheer mellifluous elegance, she's one that goes neck and neck with me, man. She's very good on the radio. And, you know, it's easy to get interviewed by people like the two of you with your super smooth, super smart questions. So that was really fun. And, you know, those issues have definitely not gone away. For those of you who have an eye on the Congo these days, resource conflict is not only alive and well, it appears to be spreading even into areas of the Central African Republic I was talking about as being relatively peaceful at that time. They are not today. So want to think a little bit about all those folks out there who are living in a lot of fear and instability in this time in that part of Africa. On the upside, I went to a conference about conflict minerals at Clark University a couple of years ago. It was 2 years ago, September, I think. Mm. And there were, you know, they had planned for 60 to 100 students, and then the registration just kept growing, and they had 200, and then 300, and then 400, and 500, and students were, like, registering for this conference from California and Wisconsin and Florida, and they had to hold it in the gym. Because, you know, undergrads were like, what? Like, if I shouldn't use a Mac or I shouldn't use a tablet, like, tell me. I'll boycott something. Tell me what to do. Like, if people are dying, and I thought that was happy news, so...
The energizing youth.
Yeah, well, yeah, no joke. One of the great perks of working in a university community is energy, positive, engaged energy on these issues, and can't be overestimated. Very much like that found on this show.
Unfortunately, once you've been a graduate student for years and years,
you become slightly jaded. Yeah, yeah. Oh, come on.
We still are excited. We have various energies.
You just understand more about how hard it is to actually fix things.
Maybe that's it.
It's not like
Maybe
you stopped trying.
It.
It's good.
It's true.
It's
Thank
good.
You.
Yeah.
Rachel, you're now working for the Fair Food Network, if we're allowed to say that.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Yes. And you are working to make positive change in our world.
Trying. Yeah.
Yeah. What is the major project you're working on at the moment?
Well, sure. I direct a program called Double Up Food Bucks that matches SNAP benefits, which is what the food stamps program is now called. We match those SNAP benefits when they're spent at farmers markets
SNAP.
And on locally produced foods. And the extra money, which comes from private foundations, is only for Michigan-grown fresh fruits and vegetables.
Wow.
So we have just completed our fifth, well, not just, it's February. We completed our fifth season of the program this past fall, and we're putting a report together about it, but it's been very successful, particularly because one of the goals of the program was to help influence food assistance policy, namely the Farm Bill, which just passed.
Yeah,
it was that last week. That was last week. It was signed into law, and I think Aviva Glazer might be joining us later to talk about that because she was also working on Farm Bill.
Absolutely.
But on the healthy food incentives end, there is now a provision, a federal grant program that beginning sometime in the next federal fiscal year, there will start to be funds available for programs like Double Up Food Bucks to continue supporting the use of our federal food assistance dollars for local healthy foods that both nourish our people and support our farmers and local economies and local businesses. So
this is one of the most sensible things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's we like to say it makes the same federal dollar accomplish two objectives, which it really does. I mean, it's supporting people and it's supporting farmers at the same time. It's a very smart use of that resource.
And this took years to come through, right? A couple of
years. The Farm Bill?
Yeah.
Yes, they were supposed to have passed it in 2012. And it didn't make it through that Congress. There was an election. They had to start over, basically. And it finally got pushed through in January, thanks to the intrepid leadership of our Michigan Senator, Debbie Stabenow. Working across the aisle, and she's really quite a talented politician.
Great.
Speaking of politicians on this issue, I'm trying to remember, Rachel, I think you and I were in studio with Amanda Edmonds, the director of Growing Hope. Was it a year or two ago now? Just about this time of year? Maybe a year ago. And we were talking about the Farm Bill stalling, and we were talking about all the different scales at which some of our alumni are out there working on these mm-hmm. issues, including at the sort of civic level, as Amanda's been doing with Growing Hope, right?
Right.
And she, I think, has also made a bid for mayoral...
For mayor of Ypsilanti. Yeah, yeah, she just launched her campaign on Tuesday.
So, speaking of talented politicians and mm-hmm. all the different scales and levels that people end up working at on these kinds
right.
of questions.
And Amanda, she's very engaged locally with community gardens and food access in Ypsilanti, but she's also engaged in the Washtenaw County Food Policy Council, which is advising around food policy, things we can do here within our county to create a more sensible, healthy food system. And she's also been engaged with the Michigan Food Policy Council, which is doing that same sort of work on a statewide level. So there's lots of places to get engaged and lots of people working on these issues.
Yeah, I just remember that show was a great one. She really shared with us a lot of the stories about how she moved from being a student to move mm-hmm. to being active on a local level. And we had a bunch of good food-related songs. And so that's one that's in the archive you can look for on our website, hotinhere.us, hotinhere.us. Pull it up, give it a listen. It's good stuff.
Gorgeous. Well, Gus, I see we have a caller, but let's listen to a moment or tune or two of the song, a bossa nova version of the Cure tune, Friday I'm in Love, and give us a call at 734-763-3500 and show your love for WCBN. If you want to listen to the remainder of these tunes and all the other lovely tunes we have set up for today, we're considering for today, we'll post that playlist to our website at hotinhere.us. Michelle Martinez, are you with us on the line? Hello, Michelle.
Hey, hey, hey. How's it going?
Good. Live from Detroit.
It's true. We're here in the Motor City.
Hey, and congratulations to you. You have increased the size of the It's Hot in Here family.
Yeah, the global population increased by one because of me.
And I want to say single-handedly, but certainly yeah. I don't think that's the case.
And another person. Yeah.
How
That's
is that?
True.
Yes. How does it feel to be an environmental and social sort of pioneer on cutting edge policy issues while also being a mother?
I don't think that it's probably any different than any other mother. You're tired, sleep deprived.
But you have a little Valentine. In fact, I got to come clean. We are sitting in the studio eating heart-shaped cookies with cherry jam on them from my mother.
I'm going to go ahead and eat one right now.
Oh, she's tucking into one. And so we were just having a little conversation during that last music track about how moms are often the best Valentines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can always rely on your mother to love you.
My mom used to get me one of those giant Hershey's Kisses every year, the ones that are like, it's like 3 solid pounds of Hershey's chocolate in the shape of a kiss. And how you even begin to eat it.
Really?
Like, how did you eat it?
It's like a trophy.
Just like gnaw off pieces of the side.
That's what
I
have to do. Yeah. Oh. Just like shove the whole thing in your mouth.
Our tradition, we would come downstairs for breakfast on Valentine's Day, and my mom had these beautiful kind of heart-shaped envelopes that she had sewn, and she would fill them with delicious gifts, and we would have a very sugary breakfast. And then she'd send us off with cookies for the bus driver, and we would continue having a delicious insulin spike for the rest of the day.
No doubt.
Slowly titrating that sugar.
Wonderful.
Probably in a new Valentine's related pair of socks, which was really fun. My mom always made holidays very special.
But you know, Michelle, back to this question of kind of activism and engagement professionally and being a mom. We recently had a screening on the University of Michigan campus of a film called Elemental, which profiles 2 or 3 different activists in their efforts to balance personal life and work on environmental issues. One is a tar sands activist who's based up in Canada. And it was a thoughtful portrayal of the ups and downs of those balancing acts. And it really made it seem awfully heroic and important to try to do that in this world. You know, I don't know if you've seen that film or heard about it at all.
No, I haven't seen the film. It sounds like a really good recommendation on my Netflix list, though.
I don't even know if it's on.
A lot of people are engaging in trying to find a different kind of model for community organizing that is so different from a male-dominated patriarchal kind of form where you're able to drop everything and lead the masses, when really a home-based and family-centered kind of movement is the kind of movement that we're looking for inside of the beloved community that helps to lift up all voices, moms, kids, and other folks who are just really trying to get by and...
Yeah, right. And even the demands of traditional organizing. Yeah, 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 exactly. No, I think it's heartening to hear you talk kind of from the front lines about the terms in which you understand those challenges, because I do feel like even the constraints of traditional organizing demand a lot. They demand a lot from people who are already, hemorrhaging energy in so many directions. So,
and we get a lot of pressure, you know, and different organizers get a lot of pressure to do numbers-based and metrics-driven type organizing, where you're measured by the amount of bodies in one room, right? Are we going to the public hearing? How many people are in the public hearing? Are we able to go to Chicago to do this with the EPA or another? And it's just so hard for working families to drop everything and do that, go to the public hearing when you have your kids, you know, baseball game or soccer game. And, you know, people have these day-by-day cost-benefit analysis where they're like, what is going to give me a greater return, being at my son's baseball game or going to this hearing? And a lot of times they don't see the returns on the hearing, right, which sometimes
exactly.
We just lose. So, you know, those are real things. So being able to sustain over time and not have be disenfranchisement or disillusionment, you know, we try to come up with creative ways to bring the family element through, you know, food and community building instead of just that really hard, rigid form of organizing that we've seen in the past.
Amen. Amen, sister. No, that sounds, I mean, it's, and it is, it's, you know, what do you relinquish in terms of objectives and goals, and what do you gain in terms of long-term impact and the broad appeal of a movement to a wide range of actors? I think those are super interesting questions, and probably really relevant in today's Detroit on various fronts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things are you working on most avidly in the Detroit area now?
Well, just in the month of January, we were really looking at the new hockey stadium that has been proposed construction in Detroit here by 2017. If you didn't know, the Red Wings were slated to get a new home, no longer the Joe Louis Arena, but that will be a new Catalyst Area project in Detroit. And, you know, somebody told me, and, you know, you might want to check your sources on this, but that will be the fifth largest entertainment district in the United States, with all of the arenas in the downtown area. And, you know, it's just ironic that because we're going through bankruptcy that the city and the state are actually subsidizing the project through taking some of the monies, about $240 million, out of the school tax fund to help subsidize the project.
What?
So we're a little bit upset about that. So we were trying to work on some community benefits that would help to bring in jobs and living wages and relocation projects for some of the residents. But unfortunately, didn't get the entire gamut of things we're asking for. Luckily, though, the Illich family through Olympia Development has at least allowed us to have a neighborhood advisory council. So we'll be working on that and watching how this development plays out.
You can hear all of us trying to catch our breath after that last piece of information.
You were so incredibly understated in explaining that to us.
Allow us to be verbal and outraged.
We had peaks of rage, and we hit the nadir, I think, in different points. But people are definitely trying to work together to come up with alternative scenarios for Detroit's development. And, you know, that's just one of the many projects that the city is looking at and trying to stimulate the economy here. And, you know, unfortunately for us on the left, we're still reeling over some of the decisions that are coming down.
No doubt. Well, thank you, though, for hanging in there and do stay in touch with us here at It's Hot in Here. We would love to have more information and more regular updates from you on the way these things are developing. It's a really great resource for us, and we appreciate you taking the time to call in and tell us about it today.
Thank you so much,
yeah,
Michelle.
And I love It's Hot in Here. Anytime I can go to Ann Arbor, I'm so happy because I can turn it to WCBN and listen to the radio. Me and my partner often talk about how, you know, there's a few gems, really, in Ann Arbor that we still continue to go back for, apart from, you know, Jerusalem Garden and the Earthen Jar and Encore Records. WCBN is in the top of our list for things that we look for in Ann Arbor after so many years.
Beautiful.
Amen. Thank you so much. And don't forget, you can access those archives at hotinhere.us if you want to just be able to do that when you're not in your car and you're not near a radio, but you're just stuck on a laptop, you know?
I do that at my desk. Thank you. So I will.
Absolutely. Pull out those headphones. Heck, you can do it while you're nursing or playing some kind of a game with a bored child and trying to also
pumping. Yeah.
Multitasking.
Wow. Well, great. Thank you so much, Michelle. And you take care. And happy Valentine's Day to you.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
And your growing family. Love it.
Thanks.
Now we are going to, in advance of having a quick call with Habib Kwete, who's coming to the ARC this coming Tuesday. That's February 18th. He is a musician from Mali who's been playing for decades and has been called the Eric Clapton of Mali, even. There's a wonderful tradition of blues that comes out of that area. Right now, we're going to listen to the title track from his new album that just came out. I believe it's called Sioux, but I am not an expert on the language myself. But Kwete says that this is the word meat is a symbol of the heart. It's the center of your life, the heart of life. It's a place with your family, the place where you have old friends, a place where you know the climate. It is all of those. That's what Sioux means, your sweet home.
Like CBN for us.
It's where your life makes sense. I love
Sounds
it.
Perfect.
So let's take a listen.
¶¶
Paroma sheba koro kwa jaka kumate kusima sheba koro farinyara nosokirola sheba koro farinyali aya parali ja beni parali beni parali Sanu ba soro ye, kawari ba soro ye, na folo soro yoro ye, utese ke soye. Netaraka kafuneto, netaraka burama fanato, nyala kanyala, manunu yonye fancy. Melo tungana parasi jamana yoyala shinite shininye yoyala parafina jamana yoyala ameriki yorobe yoyala yemi to soye deno yonye fransi jabeni barale beni barale
Oh, that was so delightful. Habib, are you with us?
That's a beautiful song.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Habib. Bonjour. How are you? Welcome to Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah, thank you. How are you, too?
We've been looking at your website, both the French and English versions. We do speak both in the studio, so as we talk today, if you have terms and thoughts in French, you can say, and we can figure out what they mean in English. But I hear you've got really good English language skills as well.
Hey, so where...
I try. Actually, my English is not bad.
That's
not
fantastic. Bad. But still, if you could explain in English to us a little bit more about that song we just heard. It sounds absolutely fantastic. And Jennifer tried, just as we were airing it, to describe a little bit of the meaning behind that song, So... Are we pronouncing that right?
The song So... Okay, you. Do I stop you?
No, you're good. I wanted you to talk about that song. It's so beautiful and it's so heartwarming.
Yeah, So is the name of the album first. And it means in Bambara language. It means homeland. Homeland, it can be house to house, homeland, and I make this song on the name, like the name of the album, because it's about my country, Mali. Since 3 years, we had a lot of trouble in Mali, and I just make the song to make people think about what they know again, just to think again about the homeland and how to do to keep our homeland sweet.
So in many ways, the song has a message of peace. I noticed that your website talks about. Your music incarnates what Mali is today. And further, you say, a vast multicultural land that yearns for peace and understanding. Habib, I have to say, we are so lucky to have you here in Michigan playing and talking about these issues. Myself, I work in Centrafrique, and that country is having some very, very similar and terrifying problems. That country where I lived for 6 years and saw so many people of different faiths and languages
prosperously in communities together. And now these forces tearing people apart, they're breaking my heart. So I want to tell you, we hear your music today with a lot of emotion, and we are very, very excited about your upcoming show. Do you want to tell us about...
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. What about that show? This is on the 18th. And tell us where and when you're playing and what you plan for that show.
Yeah, during this show, I just played a new, most of new song on this album, because this album was really a special one for me, because I organized my first time to organize all recording and to recognize the studio was in my house, and the musician, I organized a musician who come to play. Everything, it's happened in my house, and we eat together with the musician. This is the first time for me to do an album like this. And
wow.
We do this because we must make an album cheaper too, because
the
CD selling is too low now. Mm-hmm. And this album, I want to play, because since 7 years now, I don't make a new record, and everybody ask about the new song, new album.
7 year itch.
And okay, now it's coming out, and I want to play most of those new songs, and maybe some ancient one or two, three ancient song, and the band, we have five on stage. Five musicians. I have in my for those who know my ancient band. I changes. I have some new musician, young musician to change the sound a little. I have a percussionist who play djembe, and he play calabash too, and he play a pad, electronic pad, percussion. He play this too. I have another one who play kamalingoni, the string, traditional string instrument, and bass guitar. He play both. Another one play banjo, the American banjo, and he play another guitar, classical guitar too. And another one play on his keyboard a lot of traditional song of Mali. Those songs come from a small box. Her name is Contact 8, and he connect to his computer, and he play only those traditional sound of traditional instrument, balafon, kora, ngoni. Yeah, and the ambiance is good. It's good.
That sounds fantastic. We are looking forward to seeing that show and to seeing you not only as a musician, but as what you call yourself, a modern griot. And I think when I see that title, I think of my friend, Dorothea Schultz, who has worked a long time in Mali. She wrote a book called Perpetuating the Politics of Praise, Djeli Praise Singers, Radios, and Political Mediation in Mali. And she's really interested in this role of the griot as the singer of histories in Mali and the person who tells the story of politics and history over time. So it sounds like for this new album, you have chosen a moment in history when there is a need for a voice to tell these stories of struggles, maybe. I would love you to talk about your sense of yourself in the tradition of griots or praise singers and kind of, you know, historians in Mali.
Oh. Yeah, the griot in Mali is the man who the people who they are storyteller. They are musician. They are storyteller. They are people who can make people in touch, you know, between two family or between two country. The griot is a man who can go to talk and another family in another family for another one. For example, when there is a wedding or there is baptism, or it's a griot or death, when someone someone is passing away, is a griot who top the state, because the people, the parents of the people who die are sad, and they don't they don't talk to this day, and it's a griot who talk a lot for them, and make people like to let them coming down, you know, to,
sure,
you know, the words to use to the people, and the people can be calm, you know, and accept, they can accept the death. And
so you were saying
this
that
is the role of the griot, and the griot is, until now, the griot come from the Mandinka Empire. They work for the king or for the emperor or for the noble family, and those take care of the griot. They give to him everything, food and yeah, and cloth.
Well, so who takes care of you, the modern griot?
Griot is not someone who are poor. He's not poor people.
Who takes care of you, the modern griot? I mean, if it's not that's another meaning, no?
Actually, we don't have any king, and we don't have any emperor, and we have a democratic president, and two things change, but only this part changed. But the noble family, each noble family in Mali have their own griot, and they take care of him. They give to him money and house and everything until now.
It's like the troubadours in old Europe. Yeah.
Modern griot. Yes, I. I don't. Yeah, I just play. I make tour a lot in Europe, in US, everywhere, all time since 22 years. Tour a lot, and I think the people who take care of me are my fans. The fans who come to watch me everywhere in the world.
Fantastic.
Even in your country too, in Arbor, when they come, they can take care of me.
Habib, fantastic. We would like to count ourselves among those who are in that community of caretaking for you and your music and your message of peace. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's been a privilege, a real privilege, to talk with you today. You can find also the MP3 of this conversation on our website, and I hope it will help spread the word about you and your music here in this country and in this part of our country. I really, really look forward to the show, and I want to make sure too that if you have any other messages for our listeners about Mali or about your music, that you have a chance to say what's on your mind before we let you go today. Do you have any other message for us?
The message I have is a message about flag, about Mali flag, and is on one song. I sing in this album on solo, only my guitar and my voice, and I call on all Malian to come to help each other to take the flag, Mali flag, to bring it up, very up, because he's maybe heavy. He need a hand of each Malian to take it up.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful message.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful message. So you mean not only the flag, but the community of Mali as a nation, as a state, that is a community of many different kinds of people who need to work together to uplift their country in this time.
Yeah.
I think that's a really beautiful message. And it's one that we relate to here in this country, as you know, where we are always working on those same questions of how to come together as a community of different groups and maintain a culture of our country that is a place that has a place for so many different peoples. And so I think your message and your music is going to find a very, very energetic audience here. And that's, again, February 18th, right? In the evening at the Arc?
Yes, I believe doors are at 7:30 and the music starts at 8.
Fantastic.
Yes, wonderful. So safe travels and have a great time in Toronto. And we shall see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay warm.
Good day.
All right.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Peace.
So in honor of the fusion of many cultures, we're going to listen to an instrumental version that Habib Kwate did with Eric Bibb back a couple years ago, and they were touring together. This is an instrumental version of the tune Mami Wata.
A water spirit.
Fun tune, if you know the words.
Beautiful music from Habib Kwete from Mali in concert at the Arc on February 18th. Everybody get your tickets.
Yes. Hey, thank you to my mother, Jayetta Johnson, for calling in and saying hello and pledging. Pledging. Thank
what
you, Mom.
What were we saying about moms as the best Valentines?
There it is. There it is. She's the most loving mother I've ever had. I'll be playing a tune in honor of my dad, hopefully, later. So feel free to make your very own pledge to parents, although we'll count it as one. I love you guys. Kat Superfisky, are you on the line with us?
I am.
Bam!
Oh, my gosh, Kat.
Oh.
Hi, friends.
Hi.
Oh, my goodness.
Where are you?
Well, first off, I want to say, was that really my intro song? I thought you guys were going to play some Kanye West or some Beyonce or something like that. But
well, we were interviewing a fairly famous musician from Mali. So we're going
to
take you out on some
we
Curtis
Mayfield.
We know
that Mayfield. Kanye needs some more publicity, Kat, and we're going to get on that. We really are.
He's the most underappreciated musician.
Seriously, and his message of peace is dramatically underrated, but we thought we'd go with Habib for today because Habib actually is pretty cool. You should just love it. Yeah. Plus, his hair looks a lot like yours.
Mm. Oh, yeah. All right. I can dig it then.
Yeah, you got to check out his website. You'll be so pleased with the way we brought you in today.
I dig it.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I'm out in California, so it's early AM, so that actually is pretty good music for me because I'm just kind of getting started with my work day on this lovely, sunny Friday.
Can you go ahead and tell me what the temperature is? Just for...
Oh, don't.
No, don't tell us. It's warm today.
No.
It is warm
Do you really want to know?
No.
No.
Yes.
I am like in a t-shirt and jeans and sweating.
Up.
Oh. And it's probably about 75 and full sun already.
That's exactly the
950.
Well, guys, it's almost spring, you know.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is that people out here are like, oh, yeah, it's like, you know, cold. It's winter. And I was like, you guys do not know what winter is, and this is not cold. So I keep forgetting it's winter. It still literally feels like summer to me. So California is like this wicked weird time warp for me where I feel like I'm still in the middle of June.
Wow.
Well, that's rough, honey. We feel for you.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
But wait, I want to know.
Are you maintaining existence in the tundra?
Is your busy work schedule allowing you to run and play as much as you want to? I want to know.
I would have to answer that honestly as a no.
Yeah.
Just because I am. I mean, I'm still running every morning. Los Angeles is packed with things to do and be involved in, and I have just eaten that up to the nth degree. So it's been great, and I love it, but at the same time, it's like, whew, I don't get a lot of sleep, and
I don't often sit around on my dupa very much, which I think, you know, I'd get bored if I did.
And you're not doing freeform radio because you're so good at that.
I'm not, but you know what? I recently purchased this like 1980s FM AM radio with a tape deck in it.
Sweet.
And I have been rocking out to like our college stations around here and being like, I really need to start knocking on some doors and sending some tapes and being like, hey guys, you guys need someone to come and play some weird music and talk a bit. So I have
More
a feeling
Kanye.
That will be something that will come down the pipeline, but not yet.
Well, if you need a recommendation letter from WCBN-FM 88.3 Ann Arbor, you just let us know, girl.
Will you sign a record and just like mail it out here? Everybody signs it and then be like, yeah, this is her recommendation letter.
Absolutely.
That literally is just like a big old vinyl. That would be pretty cool.
Okay, we'll do it.
Perfect.
We could send you a piece of this carpet too. It would
or a piece of the tablecloth on
that
the studio
table.
That would
be authenticity right there.
Yes.
Hey, Kat, have you pledged your donation to get your very own It's Hot in Here mason jar sent all the way to Los Angeles, California?
I have not yet. I could potentially donate some plasma, but in terms of dollar bills, Kat ain't gotten none of those since she's living in L.A. She's gotten negative dollar bills. So I could give you guys all the love in the world, as well as some of my plasma and other fluids. But
I don't need your platelets. I love
you.
Yeah,
I don't know. I heard that they regenerate pretty quickly, so... I've been looking into it.
Okay, well, thanks for that.
But I think I drink too much coffee that they'd probably decline me. They'd be like, you've got way too much caffeine and whatever is going on in there.
Well,
fluids of yours.
That's how much people love WCBN. They're willing to give their bodily fluids, the blood, their lifeblood, quite literally, to the station. Should you not love us that much but happen to have some extra cash in the bank, feel free to give us a call at 734-763-3500. Operators are standing by. And you can also donate online at WCBN.org. But if you do that, you have to send an email. There are instructions there saying which show you're donating for and if you which premium items you would like. Just seems important to note that. Kat, we wish you all the very best.
Keep warm, Kat.
On the frigid streets of Los Angeles. It's so great to hear from
you. We miss you so much.
Yeah, I time warp back there sometimes. And actually, I do sometimes stream WCBN still to get my jollies.
No doubt.
I miss it.
Listen,
you gotta
listen to the show.
WCBN nonstop. It is hands down the best radio station I've ever heard or been a part of. So you guys are rocking it, man. I give you props.
Your man, Chill Will, was in here doing his mixes for Saturday coming up.
Don't tell me that.
I know.
Kat, you got to get into our archive on hotinhere.us and listen to the show 2 weeks ago. We went into the archive and broadcast a little bit of your interview with Beth Diamond. It was a beautiful moment.
And you
got to pull that up whenever you get a chance and take a listen, okay?
I will, for sure.
All right.
Beautiful.
Well, thanks for holding it down, you guys. I love you guys and I miss you a lot. And, you know, warm wishes and lots of love from out here in California.
Thanks,
Kat.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye, sweetie. All right, in honor of Kanye West and Kat Superfisky, let's play some Curtis Mayfield. This is Give Me Your Love. Give us a call at 734-763-3500, and we will take your gracious pledges. This is WCBN-FM Ann Arbor. So we should also say that Kat Superfisky was a former co-host on the show. And we have so many co-hosts with us today.
It's hot in here, WCBN FM 88.3 Ann Arbor.
It's beautiful, including Rachel Chatterton. And now, Aviva.
Aviva, are you there?
Aviva. Hi, I'm here.
Hi, Aviva.
Aviva.
Las Vegas.
How, I hear you have a snow day, too.
Today is not a snow day. Yesterday was. Today was just a two-hour delay in the D.C. area.
Oh, well, it's been a doozy of a winter, hasn't it?
Sure has. Is but that- today it's hot in here.
You can say that again.
Yes.
You can say that anytime
well
you want.
Said.
I don't feel anyone can say that too often.
No. No. Aviva, do you know about the two-hour delay prior to going to sleep? Like, can you allow yourself to get more sleep, or do you have to wake up and then say, that's all right, I'll just drink six cups of coffee before going to the office?
I did know about the two-hour delay prior to going to sleep, but I still can't really sleep past seven, so you're that's
such,
okay.
You're such an adult now. I love it. And you are working for the National Wildlife Federation, if I'm allowed to say that.
That's right. You are allowed to say it. It's a great organization, and I'm very happy to be working there.
Wonderful.
And you've recently had some big success in your work, right, Aviva?
That's right. And Rachel, you have as well. We've both been working on the Farm Bill for many years. And just last week, it was signed into law by President Obama in Michigan.
Yep, it was there. And I was there at the event, and I got right up at the boundary.
No way.
When he was shaking hands, and I put my hand out to shake his hand, and he skipped me.
Oh, man.
Ouch.
But I was very close to him, and his smile is really incredible.
It's dazzling. It's dazzling.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. But anyway, so this really big piece of legislation, the Farm Bill, it seems almost abstract in its giganticness. So can you break it down for us what the victories were in the pieces you worked on, Aviva?
Sure. Well, the Farm Bill is a huge piece of legislation. It's almost $1 trillion. It's a five-year piece of legislation.
So
it's just enormous. I did not try to tackle the whole bill, but I focused on the conservation pieces of the bill. And in particular, I worked a lot on conservation programs that help farmers practice good conservation on their land. So whether or not they set aside certain environmentally sensitive land for conservation, for wildlife habitat, and there's also programs that help make it financially doable for farmers to do practices that protect soil or water on their land. These kind of really good practices that are voluntary, that help really improve the quality of our farmland for soil and water and wildlife. These are conservation programs under the Farm Bill. They are very popular with farmers. They're voluntary. And without this bill, they wouldn't be around. So this bill authorized almost $60 billion for these conservation programs, which is a huge win. And we're very excited about it. The other cool thing about this bill is that it included a provision that is called conservation compliance that says that if farmers receive crop insurance subsidies, which are now going to be the biggest subsidies going to farmers, they have to actually agree to practice basic conservation practices to protect wetlands and soil on their land. And this is a huge victory for conservation, for soil, for wetlands, and for wildlife.
That is such a smart way to set those programs up.
Aviva, I have to ask, how do you balance... I mean, I've been hearing so much about House of Cards, right? And even Obama's affinity for it. We can forgive him for that, for sure. But, like, how do you balance the patience that you need to work on these issues? And, I mean, do you get a kind of renewed energy when there's a victory like this? I mean, talk to us about how it feels to be working on these very intricate, you know, long-term kinds of victories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. I started working at National Wildlife Federation over 3.5 years ago, and the Farm Bill was one of the first things I started working on, this Farm Bill, and it has been a long and excruciating process, and there have been some victories along the way and a whole lot of failures, and it has been very frustrating at times. But I think that the thing that needs to keep us going, especially in the conservation movement where victories are few and far between, is that when there is a victory, we celebrate it. Even if it's not a perfect victory, even if it's not you know, everything you ever wanted, but any victory, I think, needs to be celebrated. Bill passed with these good provisions for conservation, we definitely celebrated.
Well, I guess in that respect, it's a little bit analogous to the relationships in our lives, right? Valentine's Day, here we are, V for victory. Like, you take the good things and you celebrate them and you work on the long haul. And, you know, I guess that's not irrelevant to our February 14th mood here in the CBN station while people wade through the snow outside with red bouquets in their hands.
Absolutely.
But that's a great point that you just you kind of have to celebrate the positive and hang in there, really, is what you're saying.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Well, it's so great to chat with you, Aviva. Do you have any other messages for the listeners of WCBN?
I do. I think that everybody who's listening should call and donate, because this is a fantastic radio station with great.
We didn't even cue you to say that.
No, we did not.
Great people.
Thank you, Aviva. You clearly understand what it means to need means to an end. And I want to tell you, this is the real world we're sitting in, even though sometimes it feels like a good dream down here in the studio. But it is the real world. And so thank you for reminding us that there's a funding call out today.
We need it. Thank you to Chai, who donated and says hello. Oh, we really appreciate the support.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much. And what is the number he called or she called?
734-763-3500.
So easy to dial.
Andrea, do you want to tell us that number again?
Sure. It is 734-763-3500.
Perfect.
Really fun people on the line.
Hey, Aviva, thank you so much for your support and for all the hard work you've done.
We miss you.
Miss you guys, too. Thank you, guys. I'm going to go call and donate right now.
All right.
Yay.
Awesome.
Bye, guys.
Bye. So in honor of all of us who are in love with our computers, whether we like it or not.
And in honor of our fantastic digital archive that Andrea Krause has been cleaning up and getting online.
Hotinhere.us,
such a beautiful website. Let's hear a little bit of music, maybe, no? What do
you think? Yes, this is Zapp and Roger.
Oh, I want to thank Jacob Talbot for working this in on an interview not too long ago.
Heck yeah. This is Computer Love. Little moment. Oh, no, this is Lucky Lion Drake. This is supposed to be coming up later. Maybe we're hearing both of them together. It sounds pretty good.
Ooh, I kind of like the palimpsest effect.
It almost sounded better. I dig it.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Zap.
Searching for someone who can share that special love with me. And your eyes have that glow. Could it be your face I see on my computer screen? Need a special girl to share with my computer world. Oh, so rare. Cause it's your face I see on my computer screen.
Shimmy love, I wanna love you. Shimmy love, come get love.
Jacob Talbot, a very, very great engineer who worked with us last year and brought that song in on an interview we did with Ross School professor Tom Lyon on natural gas fracking. And it was a fantastic show. We're going to get that up in our archive on hotinhere.us if anybody's interested in fracking like conflict minerals. It's not going away as an issue, people. So that archive is a great place to see, and none of it would be here without this caller.
Hugh Stimson.
The founder, the origin. It's
I reach you now from a Vancouver closet.
Moving up in the world, because I mean, really, that sounds like an improvement over this room.
Yeah, Audrey insisted we go in the closet, and then she left.
Ooh, I hate when that happens.
You have a tricky daughter, Hugh.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so wonderful how fecund members of the show has become.
There's a lot of WCBN spawn out there at this point.
Yes.
That's what we call her sometimes.
I don't doubt it.
WCBN spawn. We should get a special sort of bib or baby onesie out for our fundraiser for coming years for all the kids out there.
I do think so. Hugh, how are you? How are what is up?
Well, what is up? It's been, let's see, it's been an interesting couple of weeks. I'm back in East Vancouver, but last week I was in Venezuela doing some, helping give some workshops on data journalism.
Data
to journalists in a couple of provinces there, which was interesting, and everyone was looking at each other and saying, man, when are people gonna get back in the streets? How much longer are we gonna take this? And then I got home and looked at the news and clashes and that's Audrey. I don't know if you can hear her in the background.
Yes, I was hoping.
She's saying that I'm back from Venezuela.
CBN spawn.
Yeah, and riots and people dying in the streets and protests. So uh-oh. Interesting times to be over there.
No doubt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that tends to happen almost everywhere you go, though, Hugh, no?
I have nothing to do with it, I swear to God.
We've had a lot fewer riots in the streets since you left Ann Arbor. But I got to tell you, it's boring without you. And this is not to belittle, actually, at all, what you were just describing. We've had a show today, you may have heard, where we've spoken with Malian musician Habib Koité about the conflict in his home country. We've mentioned the conflict in the Central African Republic. And, you know, it's a tumultuous time we live in. I have to say, in that spirit, that I have so much gratitude to you, Hugh, and to Jennifer and Sarah Swick for the original idea here, which was a show that grapples with serious environmental and political issues, but that mixes it up with great music and gets people thinking across, you know, communities, across scientific and cultural knowledge communities, across campus and cities.
Yeah, I was just reflecting, actually, listening to some of the guests calling in, which was great. It's great to hear some old voices about how we never really drew tight boundaries around environmental, social, political issues. We always, and of course, great tunes. We always kind of just let it all flow together, and I think that was appropriate. I think that that speaks to the way that the environment should be approached, which is, you know, as a holistic thing, and with a lot of great music. And we did that.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it's a bridge between what goes on in our school, the School of Natural Resources and Environment, and our campus at University of Michigan, and the neighborhoods and agencies and organizations around us in Ann Arbor and Michigan and the upper Midwest. Yay, the nation. I mean, we've got callers here from Mali today. I mean, the reach, you're right. Those lines are blurred in a lot of different fronts, disciplinarily, geographically, but it's a positive mix. And it kind of makes you want to, like, let's talk, let's think, let's do, let's dance. A couple of us are standing up dancing right now after
that
zap song.
I was about to say, are you dancing?
There's been a little dancing today. Yeah. On the
mic. We needed it.
We did. Sitting is the new smoking. So, you know, no point in broadcasting seated. It just shortens your lifespan.
So you might as well stand and smoke and just balance it out.
No, but really, Hugh, I have to say you set up the original digital archive as well on one of your websites, which is an amazingly heterogeneous site where you can kind of pool different kinds of data and visual information from different parts of the world on environmental issues. I mean, what's up with your site? What's up with your online presence these days? Anything new?
Well, HughStimson.org doesn't get a lot of love anymore, mostly because I've mostly switched over to, I'm now a businessman, don't you know? I have a little consultancy. That's
funny how that happens
it.
When we start having babies.
Self-unemployed. Business. That's geoecology.ca, where I publish some of the projects.
Okay, say that again. Say that again.
In BC to be a geoecologist. We've got the pipelines and tankers issues so hot right now in
Absolutely.
This province. I think I called in a couple of years ago on that, and uh-huh. nothing has slowed down since. Uh-huh. This week, been working on a project to collect enough signatures to bring a referendum in the province to try and block the pipeline going the so-called Northern Gateway pipeline that would carry bitumen wow. from Fort McMurray tar sands across the coast and put it on tankers to slide them down our as yet pristine coastlines. And then now we've got a new pipeline that's going to run its way right into Vancouver, expanding an existing pipeline to a much greater degree and pushing tankers right through Vancouver's, right through Burrard Inlet in Vancouver. So there's no lack of action. Around
you are
here.
Kidding.
It's
sounds like something
time.
Annie Priou could write a great novel about. I mean, this is insane. I mean, I know, Hugh, that you're not one of those naive environmentalists. I mean, if I recall, one of the things you're best at is chopping down trees, right?
Planting them, yeah.
And planting them. Okay, okay.
He was a planter. He was a planter.
But he was like a muddy boots forester. Like,
yes. He used to work for the forestry industry, yes. which is where I met Jane, which is how we came to have this little kid here.
That's
which is
awesome.
Kind of a nice little environmental love tie-in, I thought, for Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. I love that. No, but I, you know, you're very clear-eyed about the realities of industries and landscapes. And so if you're upset about some of this stuff then and interested in it, then it must be really important. Can you repeat for us, Hugh, the name of your new site where people can get more information about this stuff?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a, that's where I kind of post my projects, but it's Geoecology, which is Geoecology.
Awesome.
.ca.
Fantastic. We'll look for that. And I still love, though, occasionally heading over to HughStimson.org and just taking a look at the crazy stuff up there and the fun mix of our old radio show and your projects. It was a good time, Hugh, and you had a good idea.
And I'm really glad that you guys are carrying that tradition on. Like, it seems like it's been pretty strong and unbroken. And I love occasionally checking back into the site and seeing another show posted up, and you guys are still carrying that torch.
We would be remiss not to thank the School of Natural Resources and Environment uh-huh. for the support they are giving us to not only maintain the show, but to grow it, to make it a better digital archive and tool for teaching and learning and dialogue between universities and communities. So lots of gratitude today. It's a love fest.
And also thank you to Andrea Krause, who's across from me on the table and has been absolutely invaluable in keeping the show going this past year.
It's been a pleasure, and I'm very thankful that you guys started it so long ago and that I can help continue it along.
Hey.
Yeah. It's terrific to hear such strong voices still on the show, particularly to hear the three strong female voices, I got to say. That's one thing that the show has always been great at. I love that tradition is pushing on, too.
Thanks, Hugh. You're sounding like the father of a daughter all of a sudden. I love that. And we've got one in the White House. It's all good. Love Fest. WCBN FM 88.3 Ann Arbor. It's a love fest for It's Hot in Here Today. And we've heard from so many wonderful alumni who sat once in this studio sweating with us and are now out there running campaigns and websites and programs. And it's a really exciting network of actors. And I want to just reiterate our thanks to those who've taken the time from even, I guess, Hugh, a closet in Vancouver. Are you out of the closet yet, Hugh?
I'm out of the closet now.
All right.
Thank goodness.
You go and play with your daughter and do the work you're doing up there. And we want to thank you for touching base with us and keeping us in your thoughts.
Okay, thank you, guys. And we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Okay.
All right. Well, perhaps a massive thanks needs to go to Brian Tucker, who has given us 20 minutes of his Freeform show on this special fundraiser day to talk to our Hot in Here family. There was so much to squeeze in, and we're really appreciative for that. So show your support for him and give a call at 734-763-3500 and pledge some cash for the fundraiser.
I'm going to call in and pledge as soon as I get off the mic for his show.
You've been pledging all week.
I know, because these shows are all so good. Every time I hear a new one, I'm like, oh, wait, I got a pledge during this show.
Exactly. And I'm going to go try on the WCBN new hoodies that are out to see which one I should be purchasing. And you can see all those great things on WCBN.org. /hot in here. Thank you to Paul Stromberg, who called in. Rachel Chatterton for joining us in the studio. Obviously, Rebecca Harden, Andrea Kraus. Who else did we have?
We talked with Aviva Glazer.
Aviva Glazer, Michelle Martinez, Kat Superfisky.
Hugh Stimson and his daughter.
And his daughter. And Gus Turner for rocking the engineering boards in really phenomenal ways. And Sarah Swick for joining us virtually on a recording of her voice from like 6 years ago.
Beautiful. Habib Koité all the way from Mali, Play in the Ark on February 18th. We've had an amazing show.
Yes.
And we'll do it again next week, Friday at noon. It'll be hot in here again, and we'll look forward to having lots of you listeners back.
All right. And this next tune is going out to Sam Silkanis, who used to alternate with us on It's Hot in Here. This is a favorite tune of his a little bit. We'll leave you out on that. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Specialists.
Can't be up to me, cause you don't know who I was before you. And basically, to see a change in me, I'd be losing. So I just ignore you, yeah. Oh.